Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of Sovereign Grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And while you turn, I want to ask you this question. It's a shocking question, but I want to ask you, are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? I ask that question to you, and I ask that question to me. Am I a sinner? Now, I want to ask you to take a moment and just be honest with yourself. You're either in the privacy of your own home right now, or you're in the privacy of your own car, and you have the privacy of your own thoughts. So just take a moment and let's be honest. Be honest with yourself, and I'll be honest with myself. Are you and I sinners? Because our Lord said right here in Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 21 with me. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever commits murder is in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever's just angry inside shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that means vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, you're a fool. Whoever says, you're a fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now look at verse 27 with me. It says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Whoever just looks on a woman has already committed adultery. In God's eyes, to think it is to do it. In God's eyes, just to think it is to do it. Now, let's both you and I be honest with ourselves. Are all of our thoughts, every one of them, pure and good and right and holy? Every one of them. Or do we have the mind and the thoughts of a sinner? Let's be honest. We need to be honest because nothing is hid in God's eyes. He sees everything. He sees everything. He sees my heart. He sees my thoughts. Let me show you that in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 3 says, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why do you think evil in your hearts? Let me show you another one. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12 and look at verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. our tongue, our mouth, the things we say, whether it's under our breath or whether we say it out loud in anger, honestly, do we have the tongues of angels? Or is sin on our lips? We know what the true answer is, don't we? If we are honest with ourselves and we don't try to put up a front to anybody else, we know what the true answer is. Now, what does that say about our heart? Look right here in Matthew chapter 12 at verse 33. It says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Verse 37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now let's think about our idle words, just the random words that come out of our mouth. Ours, yours and mine. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to us. Let's think about our idle words. Are we sinners or not? Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever corruption comes out of the mouth, it started in the heart. Listener, are you a sinner? Are you a real sinner? I'm talking about a no good in you sinner. I'm not talking about a little white liar. Is your heart sinful? Is the root sinful? Can you say with Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Can you be that honest with yourself? Can you say with David, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Can you say with the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from myself? Are you a sinner? If you are, if you can honestly say, I am a sinner, I have wonderful news for you this morning. If you're a real, true, honest sinner, I bring glad tidings of great joy. If you have your Bibles open, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is wonderful news. This is the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 15 with me. It says, this is a faithful saying. That means this is true. This is a true saying. What I'm about to read and what you're about to hear is the truth. Have you been looking for the truth? Have you been trying out religion looking for the truth? Going place to place, searching, searching for the truth. Well, this is the truth. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That means this is worthy to be believed because God, who cannot lie, wrote it in His book. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Dear sinner, did you hear that? This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you know what that means? There's hope for you and me. There's hope for you, and there's hope for me. That's good news, isn't it? To a real sinner, somebody who's gotten honest with himself or herself and knows, I'm a sinner. I'm just a sinner. Now let's take a look at this verse together and see if it'll tell us how a sinner is saved. Verse 15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that what's about to follow is the truth. What's about to follow is worthy to be believed. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus." The whole thing starts with Christ Jesus. It doesn't only end with Him. He's the author and the finisher. Let's make sure we know it all starts with Him. Now let's take note of this. It does not only say, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus came." Jesus. That's where we're missing it today. Most people think He's just Jesus. He's a good man. He's a good humanitarian. He showed us the good way. Where they're missing it is, this man is Christ. Christ. Do we know what that means? Can I fully enter into what that means? This means He's the Messiah. Matthew 1:21 says, "Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." And Matthew 1:23, two verses later, says, "Call His name Emmanuel, because God is with us." This is God. Christ Jesus. He's the God man. Does anybody want to know who the high God of heaven really is? It's Jesus Christ. He is God. He is the Word of God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now listen to this wonderful, wonderful scripture. If you have your Bibles open, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, and look at verse 20 with me. It says, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Verse 12 in the same chapter says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is the true God and eternal life." In Hebrews 1 verse 8, God the Father said to God the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." This is not just God's Son. This is God Himself. He said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." This man, Christ Jesus, did not begin 2,000 years ago. He did not begin when he chose to be born into this world. He has no beginning. He is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Listen to this. This man, Christ Jesus, said in John chapter 5, verse 46, Moses wrote of me. Moses was writing about me. You know that fire on Mount Sinai? That was me. You know that voice in the burning bush? That was me. You know that finger that wrote on the tables of stone? That was me. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came. He came. He left glory willingly, and he came to this sinful, sinful world. He came to accomplish a work willingly. He said in John 17, 4 and 5, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own glory, which I had with thee before the world was. Christ Jesus, God, came into this sinful world. Everything in this world has been tarnished. Every single thing. Everything in this world has been ruined. Ruined by sin. Every person born into this world is born into sin. The Scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come forth of our mother's womb speaking lies. We know that's so, don't we? 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make God a liar. And his word is not in us. Christ, the Word, in the beginning was the Word. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and Christ is not in us. Well, if that's the case, if I am a sinner, if I can acknowledge that I'm a sinner, what is my hope? What is my hope? If I'm a sinner, and I am, what hope do I have? Where is my good news? The gospel means good news. Where's my good news? Well, listen to this. God, Christ Jesus, came into this sinful world on a mission from his Father to save sinners. You know, a person may hear that and say, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. Don't lump me into that category. Other people are sinners, but not me. Well, then I'm very sorry to say, it pains me to say, that Christ Jesus didn't come for you. You see, he came here for sinners. Real sinners. He said, I'm not come to call the righteous. Righteous in their own mind. Righteous in their own heart. The Scripture says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And he said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, the whole need not a physician, the well, the good in their own eyes. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. If you're a real sinner, you can be very happy about this news. I am. Now let's ask this question. Why do sinners need saving? Why do sinners need saving? Even though the Scripture says all have sinned, do you know that most people have no idea that they need to be saved? No idea at all. Why do sinners need saving? It's because the judge of the earth has said he will by no means clear the guilty. He said he's angry with the wicked every day. Sin must be punished. Sin, transgression against the law, breaking the law, must be paid for. And the only thing that'll pay the debt is blood. That's the only thing. Because of sin, it is appointed unto men once to die. That's a key statement right there. The Lord God told Adam, in the day that you eat this fruit and you break my law, dying you shall die. You're going to die physically. You're going to die spiritually. Because of sin, it is appointed unto men once to die. They're sentenced to it. Sinners face eternal death. They need to be saved from death. The problem for sinners is this God is holy. He's just. He's right. He's good. This law is His law. The law came from Him. It's His attributes. It's His character. God is holy. And He can't just sweep sin under the rug and say, that's all right, I forgive you. He can't do that. Everything with God must be done lawfully. And if there's sin on my record, I have to die. Dear sinner, you're in the same boat with me. You're in the same boat with me, and we need to be saved. How can a sinner sentenced to die be saved? Let me try to illustrate this. When I think of the word saved, I think of a person who's drowning in water, and then he's pulled out, saved. Now let's imagine that I'm lost at sea. I'm totally lost at sea. I'm not in a boat. I'm in the water. I have no life jacket, no life preserver. There's no land in sight. I am totally lost at sea, treading water. I want to be saved. That's what I want. I desire to be saved. Well, I'll just will it. I'll will to be saved. I'll exercise my will and just will to be saved. Well, that didn't do me any good. I'm still here. Well, I have decided to be saved. I decide to be saved. I've made my decision. I could scream it at the top of my lungs and mean it. Be sincere about it. I have decided to no longer be in the current state I'm in. Well, that didn't do me any good either. This is the honest reality. If I truly need to be saved, it means I'm in a hopeless state. It means I can do nothing for myself. If I could, I wouldn't need to be saved. If I could just will myself to land, I don't need anybody to come save me. As a dying, drowning man, what's my only hope? It's that somebody will come to me where I am in a boat and save me. My salvation depends on the work of somebody else. Now, even if that boat comes, my problem as a sinner doesn't stop there. Because I'm a sinner, I've been sentenced to die. I'm a sinner. It's no accident that I'm in the middle of the ocean. I was put there on purpose, sentenced to die. And the holiness and justice of God cannot clear the guilty. Not only do I need to be saved, but my debt must be paid. My sentence must be carried out. According to God's holy law, I can't just be pulled out of the water. They can't just pull me out and go. As a real sinner, there would only be one way I could legally and righteously and justly be saved. Only one way. Someone would have to pull me out of the water, safe into the boat. And then that person would have to get out of the boat and into the water. And the boat would have to sail away and leave him there to die. He would have to be forsaken. That's what Christ Jesus did for every true sinner that the Father commanded him to save. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And here's the gospel. Here's the good news. With his stripes, we are healed. Now let me close with this. If this is true, if what we have read straight from the Word of God is true, if my only hope is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, then what is my plea? What should I confess? What should I cry? By God's grace, I'll cry the same thing the Apostle Paul cried here in 1 Timothy 1:15. I am chief. I am chief. If Christ came to save sinners, then my only hope and plea is I am chief. Ask a person who's only gotten a hold of religion, are you a sinner? He'll say, no. I used to be. I was. You have no idea what I used to be, but not anymore. I'm a good person now. I'm righteous now. Ask a sinner whom Jesus Christ has gotten a hold of. Are you a sinner? He'll say, not only am I a sinner, I'm the chief. I'm the worst. I always have been. I always will be. There's an old song that says a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. That's not saying the Holy Ghost made him a sinner, but it's saying the Holy Ghost truly revealed to him what he was. The first thing the Holy Spirit does in this work of conversion is convince men and women of their sin. Then the Holy Spirit reveals, points men and women to the Savior of sinners. Are you a sinner? A real sinner? If you are, then I'm very happy to say that Christ Jesus came into this world to save you. Until next Sunday, may the Lord God bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.